Thank you so much. Well, good morning. If you got a Bible, please, if you'll grab it, turn to Romans chapter 13. Today we're going to look at loving one another. I'm excited about today. Verses 8 through 10 we're going to cover. I'm going to joke about it. It's going to be a short sermon, only three verses. I promise you it will be. I'm excited about the Lord's Supper today as well. Here's the goal of the day. We're going to celebrate what God has done for us in the Lord's Supper, and it's a reminder of us to love one another. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, I'm not going to lie to you, it's been hard to preach, hard to talk about. Paul, basically in the last couple of weeks, has covered some things that if I've said in 12 years of being here, I would have never selected those texts at all. I would have never said, I want to preach on loving enemies. That's easy. No, I would have not done that. Last week, if for those who maybe weren't here, submitting to governing authorities. Well, that's a crowd favorite too. I mean, and so I joke with people around the church. I was like, man, these are hard things, but I just kind of keep reminding myself that these are, I put in my notes here, these are real people. This is a real letter written to real people living in struggles in life. And I know it's cliche, I joke sometimes about we can't skip the hard parts in Scripture, but it's a humbling thing to stand before you, and even today as we're going to cover three verses, just a reminder of us loving one another, and we're going to be reminded of it's all about God's love for us. This theme of love, it's woven through everything, even last week about submitting to governing authorities. It's out of reverence and love for Him. We reflect back to what God has done. In chapter 12, verse 1, in view of God's mercies, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And for the first 11 chapters of this whole book, Paul's covering some great theology, some very, very fundamental things for the church. But then in chapter 12, starting to the end of it, it's this truth and this gut-wrenching, soul-convicting reality of what we believe about Jesus will change our life. And that's why Paul is talking about some difficult things. But this love, it is a theme. We saw in chapter 12, just quickly, verse 9 in chapter 12 talks about love being genuine. Verse 10 talks about loving one another with brotherly affection and outdoing one another and showing honor. Verse 13 talks about contributing to others' needs. Verse 14 talks about blessing those who persecute you. That's impossible outside of the Spirit. Verse 17 talks about not repaying evil for evil. Verse 19 talks about don't avenge yourselves. Verse 20 says if your enemy is hungry, feed them. Verse 21 says don't overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. And over and over, this tapestry has been woven of love, and it's this theme that goes throughout the whole book. And it sets up today, as Dev did in the children's sermon, about Paul talking about the same language of paying our debts. Last week, he ended with, we pay our taxes, we submit to authority, and that theme, this is why I'm saying this, that theme of we owe what is owed, we pay our taxes. Jesus said, give to Caesar what's his, but give to God what's his. Paul masterfully uses that theme, and he's going to kind of dovetail it, if you will, about how we pay a debt of love to others. It's fascinating, three verses. If you'll stand with me, please, we'll read. That's my, I would say, short introduction. That's kind of a short introduction, but let's look at three verses today. We're going to break it down into three parts. We're going to look and be challenged by how we are to love one another, but it all goes back to what God has done for us. So let's look at 8 through verse 10 together. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's pray together. If you would, in your own heart, in your own way, three verses, let's walk through this together. But if you would, in your own heart, in your own way, I don't know how your week's been, if it's been great or hard or difficult or what tomorrow holds, no one knows. But if you would, in your own heart, in your own way, would you just ask God to do something great today and that our hearts will be receptive? Pray for me, if you don't mind, that I would speak truth according to the Word and that collectively we would be changed. Father, we're grateful to be here today. Thank you for the freedom we have to come in this place, and we get to open up our Bibles. We get to sing songs to you, songs about you. We get to fellowship with other believers. We get to come in this place and hear the sound of worship, and we get to look at your word and see what you have for us today. God, above all, I pray that we all, beginning with me, would just simply be reminded of your love for us and how we are called to love others. It's hard, it's difficult, dare I say impossible, outside of your Spirit moving in us. So just thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read simple truths and apply it to our lives to live in obedience as we follow you. We ask it all in the great name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. There's a story of a teenage girl that got saved, and she was in Sunday school, and she was the Sunday school teacher was talking over and over, and they were talking about what it means to love, love your neighbor as yourself, all these kind of things, love your enemies, all this stuff was going on, and there was a lot of wrestling with this, and over she was talking to the teacher, and as the conversation would happen, she used the word I a lot and the word they a lot. Well, I'm trying to do this, and they do this, or, you know, I'm working on this, and, you know, sometimes they are difficult, sometimes this. And what was a really profound truth as this story, as I was looking, this kind of unfolded, was as this teenager got saved, was kind of humbled by this and struggling with loving people, as it's always difficult at times. But then the teacher kind of pressed in and basically wanted to remind her, and the Sunday school teacher said something that kind of stretched her thinking and made her kind of stop and go, huh. She said this, she said, loving others is not about them. And loving others is not about you. Loving others is about God. Simple, right? That sounds, okay, David, Captain Obvious, that sounds great. But it's the reality of how many times in life do we think about, I'm trying, I'm working. You know, sometimes they can be difficult. Sometimes, you know, they're easy to love. Sometimes this. And this junior high girl started understanding, and it kind of formulated in her and kind of galvanized this truth of what it means to love by a Sunday school teacher who imparted truth and saying, loving others is not about you and it's not about them. It's about God. And that stuck. And I just wanted to kind of let that kind of be a theme of the day, because what we're going to do real quickly is break this down into three parts. And then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Here's what I'm going to do. Three verses. Loving others is never ending. Number two, loving others, it's not optional. We'll explain that in a minute. And loving others, it's not about us. And we'll talk about that in verse 10 in just a minute. So just basically three things. I'm really not a three-point sermon guy. It just happened to work out that way. So there you go. So as we go through this, let's look at the first part of verse 8, where loving others is never ending. Look at the first part of verse 8. And keep in mind when Paul talked about pay your taxes, pay your debts, let nothing be outstanding. Look at what he says. He uses the same language here. He says in the first part, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. The emphasis, depending on your translation, it should say the ongoing or continuing debt of love one another. Paul, having just told us to pay taxes, pay your debts, respect if it's honor, give to what honor, respect those who need respect, love. He says, but let none of that be outstanding. You need to pay those things, he says, but the one debt that should always remain outstanding is the debt of love. Let me explain this. You know, when we financially, when we owe something and we have a debt, we have to pay it back, we should pay those things back. That's another sermon for another day. But Paul uses this language in transition to say we should pay the debt of love to others. We should have nothing outstanding. We should pay the debt of love. But what he's saying here is that this continuing debt of love to one another is something that we owe. And it's something that is ongoing. It's never. And this is the part where Paul is kind of bringing the hammer just a little bit. And the scriptures don't let us off the hook to say, well, okay, Pastor, so when am I off the hook? We're not off the hook. John 13, Jesus says this. He says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my people. You're my disciples if you love one another. Now, real quickly, before we go back to the ongoing debt of love, what's new about what Jesus said? Can I just kind of pull a little, kind of be a little facetious here? Loving one another is not a new commandment. Leviticus 19 in the Mosaic Law says, love one another. So is Jesus just kind of using some stretchy language here, kind of exaggerating? Was he stretching the truth and saying, hey, this is new? It ain't new. So what is new about Jesus saying, you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself? What's new about it? Leviticus 19, the Mosaic Law says this, but here's this is important. This truth where Jesus is saying, I'm asking you to love your neighbor, love one another as I have loved you, it is new in instruction, not new in instruction, but it is new in intensity. Listen to what he says. You love others as I have loved you. That's what he brings to the table. What did Jesus, in the children's sermon, what did Jesus do for us? He died for us, sacrificed, gave himself for us. So what Jesus is doing is he's cranking up the heat a little bit, and it's not just love your neighbor as you love yourself. What is he saying? You love people, really, for this? This is the hard part. Dare I say impossible. He said, I'm telling you to love people as I've loved you. That's why Jesus says this is a new commandment. You could go through the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is saying, you've heard this, but I'm telling you this. I'm asking more. I'm getting to the heart. And we know this because 1 John 3:16 says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. And that type of love is what the world will look at and go, whoa, there's something different. You know, for everybody in this room, at some point, I don't want to assume anything about any finances or anything like that. Okay, let's just, everybody just woke up just now, okay? Everybody at some point probably has a debt that you owe. And what does that happen? Whether, you know, whether it's a farm debt or whether it's a car debt or whether it's a home or whether it's something that you're paying off. Maybe you bought some furniture. Here's the thing. But when you get your money and you get your paycheck, have you ever thought through this? Because your mind should, often it goes to that money's accounted for. It's like a leech almost. Like, yes, I got paid, but also I got to pay this. You know that this money that as you get, it's like you have it subjected to these other things. So it's like it's almost like a burden, if you will. But this truth about loving others is not to be a begrudging burden of thinking this debt of love is like, fine, I'll love people. It's not about that. It's about the debt that Jesus has paid for us. And again, Romans 12, in view of his mercies and what God has done for us, it's not because they deserve it, not because they're nice, not because they're kind, not because I'm a good person. It's because of what God has done for us. And there will be a day when we pay those financial things off and we are released of that burden, if you will, of being money being owed. But the debt of love, note takers, the debt of love is never paid off. We are to live continually in this love because it never ends. I made a note here and I put a little smiley face on my notes just because it reminds me of this, because sometimes what I want to approach this is say, God, when am I paid up? When have I done enough? When have I tried enough? When am I released of this debt? If I've really loved people, do I have enough credit earned up where I can kind of maybe not love somebody in the next situation because I've really done my part, I've worked really hard, it just doesn't work that way. So I just want to, just the simple truth of point number one is that this debt of love, what he talks about paying it back, and we'll talk about point number two, why, that it's ongoing, it never ends. Tony Meredith says this in a quote that takes us to the next point as well, but listen to what he says in his commentary. He says this, the point is that there is a debt that will never, ever be settled. The debt of love. We don't have a choice in this. We are obligated to love. The debt of love is permanent. Believers are not off the hook. We never forget to the point where we have exhausted ourselves. We finished loving people, family, friends, enemies, governing authorities, anything that Paul wants to cover. We never get to the point where we say, I've done everything I could do, enough's enough. It is a lifelong journey. It is a process. It is a journey that sanctifies us, and it's difficult at times, but it's not something that we ever get to the point where we're finished. And this gets to number two, why? Number two, loving others, it's not optional. Look at the last part of verse 8 through 9. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. And then Paul's going to list four commandments that have to, that from the Ten Commandments, and I'll explain that in just a minute. These commandments, you shall not commit adultery, shall not murder, don't steal, and shall not covet. Doesn't go through all of them, just as if you pick four of them to make a point. And whatever other command there may be, they're summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can I ask you a question to think about? You don't have to answer this out loud. Are we still, the Old Testament law, we talked about this, the law of God, are we still bound by that? Do we still have to obey the law in the Old Testament? I wish we were in small groups after this because it would be a great discussion to talk about. The Old Testament dietary laws, we're released from that. Jesus came to fulfill the law, the sacrificial law, there's the civil law, the ceremonial laws. But bottom line, and to make this a little short and sweeter, the moral tenets of the law still are to be held. For example, we're not exempt from the Ten Commandments because Jesus came and died for our sins. We don't have the right or the luxury to say, I'm not going to do these things because I'm free. I'm free in Christ. I can do what I want. So we're still held to the moral tenets of the law. That's what Paul is trying to remind them. When we love others, we are fulfilling the law. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 22. Listen to what he says. They're trying to trick him. Jesus, which is the greatest commandment of all the laws? And he replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is like this. Love your neighbor, this is important, as yourself. Now look at what he says in verse 40. Jesus says, all of the law, all of the prophets, all of the Old Testament, all of these things, they hang or bound by these two commandments. So I heard it put this way. I really liked it. That this idea of love God and love your neighbor, it's the concrete mix that is the foundation of all of God's law. When I was in youth ministry, that was the thing. I went to Kennecott camps one summer when I was at Tech, and I went to work at a sports camp for the summer, and that was their theme. It was called I'm Third. I embraced that. That was the theme of my youth ministry. I worked with our students trying to get them to figure out if we can boil all of this down to what it means to follow Jesus and be a believer, we got to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm a simple-minded guy. And I know there's the stuff out there with sports called I'm Second. I'm a big fan of I'm Third. I'm not trying to dog on I'm Second. I'm not trying to dog on it. But love God first, others second. And if I do these things, then I'm third. And that was the simplicity of what Jesus has called us to do. We love others as or in the same way. This is the part where God hammered me. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because let me dig just a little bit deeper. What Paul's not saying is that we just seek after their goodness. We try to be kind. We seek their good and be happy for them or their joy. But he says we do so. But look at what he says. As ourselves or in the same way. It is the motive of my heart. And this is what God slam dunked me on this week. I'm supposed to have the same zeal, the same energy, the same creativity, the same perseverance, the same desire that goes in the way I love and take care of myself for other people. Now let that just marinate for a minute. I don't know about you, but that just kind of really kind of challenged me this week. It's not just about trying to be something or do something. It's I'm supposed to, by the will of my heart, to say, I'm going to love them as I love myself, that same energy, the way that you take care, the way that you love yourself, the way that you take care of who you are. I'm going to profoundly do that for them. John Piper says it this way. He says, make the degree of your own self-seeking the measure of your self-giving. Measure your pursuit of happiness of others by your own pursuit. The application for this is how can we? I told you this for about the last literally almost a month. God has not called us to do anything that is natural or easy. It is not easy. It is not natural to love enemies, to submit to governing authorities. It is not, none of that is. It is impossible. It is supernatural, and only by the Spirit of God working in us and moving in us can we do this. But everything, here's my point, everything is summed up. That's what Jesus is saying and Paul said. We fulfill the law. We can do all of that by loving others. He lists those four examples of things that also that affect him. If we love God with all of our heart, you're not going to worship another God. You're not going to worship idols. You're not going to dishonor God's name. You'll honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's the first of the 4:10. Verse 9 says, hey, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to kill him. Okay, there you go. You're going to protect his wife's their wife's integrity. You're not going to steal from them. You're going to be happy for them and glad for them when things go their way. And that is why I believe Paul wants to make sure he pulls some specifics here to help us understand it is all summed up in this. We love others as we love ourselves in the same measure, in the same way. Why? Because we want to? No. Because they deserve it? Absolutely not. But because of what God has done for us. It is the never-ending debt of love. It is wrapped up in love God and love people. So it's never ending. It's not optional. And point number three, it's not optional because we can fulfill the law by doing so. But number three is we love others and it's not about us. Look at verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love, again, he says this, is the fulfillment of the law. This is going to be quick, but verse 10 shows us that love is about the good of others. You purposely and willfully, you seek their good. You don't want to do harm for them. And what I just kept thinking, and the reason I worded it, it's not about us, is because we're trying to be obedient to Christ. We're trying to do what he's called us to do. But it is intentionally seeking the betterment and the good of someone else. And it boils down to a life that has been changed by Jesus, filled with the Spirit, relying on the Spirit. Why? Because we have been loved. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because they deserve it. Nope. We love because it's easy. No, we love because it's doable. We love because somebody told us to. We love because somebody preached on it. No, we love because he first loved us. The banner of the sermon, if you will. We love because he loved us. We do because he did. In everything, forgiveness and love, it doesn't matter. We do because he did. And the hallmark of the Christian life is that we are under this umbrella of God's authority, submitting to him and saying, just like we tell people when they give their life to Christ, it's not about us anymore. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in this body, in this world, I live by faith in the God who gave himself for me. And I will not set aside this gift of God, because if I do so, I am believing and living and practicing as though Jesus Christ died for nothing. It is not about me anymore. And I want to tie this together, and I love this, and as I kind of land the plane here a little bit, 1 John tells us over and over that love comes from God. Those who are born of God can truly love. We talked about this on a Sunday night a while back about really only believers can truly love. There's worldly affections. John says that only believers, followers of Christ, can truly, truly love. And 1 John 4:11 says this, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Nobody's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. This is how we know we live in him and we have his Spirit within us. Before I close, and I want to read 1 Corinthians and kind of remember what love is, can I just throw this out there? Love's hard. Love's difficult. Love is impossible. Maybe loving you is impossible. Loving me is impossible. Maybe people in your family, your friends, or in the community, or in the church, or in the world, or maybe this is just hard because Satan wants to kick us while we're down, and we can't do this, and this is too hard, and it's time to throw in the towel. And I just want to remind you, not because of me, because of the truth of Scripture says it's never ending. We've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to keep on going. Keep submitting. Keep praying. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. And we can try and we can do religious things, but Paul's going to tell us in 1 Corinthians, I'm about to read it, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper, that we can try to do things, but if we do it without love, it is useless, it is pointless, it is simply in vain. Let me read this as I close. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or the tongues of angels, but I don't have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I give the gift of prophecy and can fathom all of the mysteries and all of the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship. I sacrifice myself so that I can boast because I don't have love. I gain nothing. So just rhetorically, just thinking of this, is it possible for us to try to do things with the wrong motives, with the wrong heart, that is nothing? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to read this last part, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to sing. But listen to what Paul says in that same thing. If I do it without love, it's nothing. With your eyes closed, just listen to this. This is what he said what love is, if you don't mind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Doesn't boast. Not proud. Doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. There's always hope. And it always perseveres. With eyes closed, just for a minute, would you just let that land on you? Patience and kindness and not proud. Doesn't put others down. It's concerned with others first. Not easily angry. Doesn't keep record. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This type of love is not natural. It is supernatural. It's not easy. But again, with just between you and the Lord here, eyes closed, you don't have to bow your heads. You just close your eyes and just spend some time just for a second. The deacons are going to come down and they're going to prepare. And really, here's the invitation, if you will. It's like that junior high Sunday school girl. Loving others is not about us and it's not about them. It's about Him. All I ask of you this morning, and I'm asking of myself, is just this focus and meditate on the joy of the hope and the love that God has done for us. Because I believe that I can only do that loving others whenever I truly rest in His love. And if that's you, would you just be still for just a minute? Prepare your heart. Maybe this is difficult. Maybe there's people in your life that are hard. Maybe you've just been really discouraged. Maybe life's got you down. Maybe things are fantastic. Maybe things are difficult. I don't know. But before we take the bread and before we take the cup, as we remember the profound sacrifice of Jesus, who demonstrates His love for us while we are sinners and calling us to love others, let's just remember and reflect of His great love. So you just take a minute, and then we'll pray, and we'll take the Lord's Supper.